The scripture for today is from the first chapter of Mark, verses 4 to 11. John the Baptizer appeared in the wilderness, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And the people from the whole Judean countryside and all of the people of Jerusalem were going out to him and were baptized by him in the River Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed in camel's hair with a belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. He proclaimed, "The one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to stoop down and untie the thong of his sandals. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And just as he was coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart and the Spirit descending like a dove on him. And a voice came from the heavens, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." The word of God for the people of God.
May the words of our mouths, the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Humor me a minute. Close your eyes and think along this thought. If you were, for those of us in an older generation, in the era of Cecil B. DeMille, or those of you in a younger generation were making a YouTube, and you were making the best movie description of Jesus' baptism, play that scene through your own mind for just a moment. Close your eyes and think it through, very literally and very specifically. Well, hold that very specific story in your mind for just a moment, and then let's start with Mark's description of what the community thought it remembered happened on that day. In barely 11 verses, Mark responds to the beginning phrase, "the beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God." And in only 11 verses, he moves rapidly through that scene. The scene seems to be, if you would, Jesus standing in line with everyone else, being baptized. And the text in Mark that we read seems that only Jesus seemed to have seen the Holy Spirit in the form of a dove speaking to him and being told, "You are called. You are indeed my Son." And then, and we'll come back to this, a verb is used in the next phrase that was not read this morning, "and the Spirit drove him into the wilderness." Now let's go to one of the other Gospels in Luke with a intent to say, as Luke begins that gospel, folks, there's lots of stories floating around, but I've done my homework, and this is what I think happened. And then Luke takes 2.5 very long chapters with stories of Mary, shepherds, lots of quotations of prophecy in the Old Testament or the Hebrew Scriptures. And finally, after a long preface and preparation that Mark did not give us, we now also see Jesus standing in line with everyone else. Also, Jesus, apparently the only one who saw the dove and heard the word, "You are my son." But then the interesting sequel, the Spirit takes Jesus' hand and leads. In Mark, he was driven. In Luke, he is led. Now, as we remake video number 3, Matthew also takes lots of extra verses and lots of citations out of Hebrew tradition. He has wise men, not shepherds. He is holding up prominence, kingship, successor to David, where Luke seems to be holding up the poor, the oppressed. And then when we get to the baptism, we see Jesus approaching John the Baptist, and John the Baptist rushes out and says, "Oh no, you should be baptizing me." And Jesus said, "No, let it be as is predicted." And then we also get Jesus being led into the wilderness. Now in our 4th video, John, the gospel, skips all the stories altogether and goes to the beginning of time. In the beginning was the Word. Not even with Adam, but begins in the beginning. And when Jesus comes down to meet John the Baptist, John the Baptist simply announces, "My God and my Lord." These are 4 powerful stories. One could say they don't agree with each other. But what I would like for you to think about, and what I've been thinking about in the spirit of Epiphany, is that as I've read and studied and thought about each of these 4 stories, they are powerful attempts of a community not long after Jesus was with them to tell a story that not only made sense to them and reflected their own experience of having come in contact with one who saved them, one who transformed their very lives. And they told not only birth stories that seemed to help make sense of something that, how could you make sense with words? Of God being revealed in a human being, a Jesus of Nazareth, a poor, itinerant, relatively uneducated. How can you tell a story that captures how we have been transformed and made, as my mother said, into people who were willing to lay down their lives for anything because they had been saved and understood what it means to receive God's love? These 4 stories then help me kind of shift, if you would, to a sense of Epiphany. Epiphany is a season of the year, January 6th, if you count 12 days of Christmas of sorts. So it's a celebration of that time in which we say God was revealed to us in that man, Jesus of Nazareth. Something well to be celebrated. But Epiphany in a broad sense is a flash of light, an aha, a deep insight into meaning and truth. And so it's in that sense that I want to hold up a couple of things this morning to suggest, at least to me as I've studied and thought about this, how at least I've heard 2 epiphanies for me. The first is, those multiple stories are a story that says each of those communities was trying to marshal both the evidence, but something that also reflected their own deep and passionate experience of God made known to them. And a story that they could share with their neighbors that made sense in that place, wherever the community was that had created and put forth that version of the gospel. It was a talking point. It was a way to share this thing that had transformed and that they felt deeply day in and day out. So perhaps the way I've tried to put it is that each gospel, each of those was a letter about Jesus, that man of Nazareth, who was a follower of John the Baptist, the son of Mary and Joseph, and paradoxically, just like one of them and just like one of us, but also someone who showed them and us a reflection, a window into the very nature of God, God's self. Now, the temptation has always been, as Constantine did to the church in the third or fourth century, let's get one single story. Let's rally the bishops together and say, you don't leave this room until you get it all down in one creed, one story. Well, the tradition we come from, Alexander Campbell said, and I'm afraid sometimes we threw the baby out with the bath, but said, no creed but Christ. But what I see in these four Gospels is Alexander Campbell's invitation and reminder to us that there are many versions of that story that speak to the experiences of people. And perhaps the most intimidating thing for me in this Epiphany season is a finger pointed directly at us. First Christian Minneapolis, what is your story? How will you tell this story of baptism and of birth? How will you form and shape, as did those early churches that produced those multiple gospels, a version of the gospel that reflects your own experience and can be shared with those around you to invite them in to be a part of your journey? So that's the first epiphany for me, is an invitation for us here at First Christian to keep on writing. That leads me perhaps then, I hope at least it did for me, to the second epiphany, which has to do with baptism itself. Notice after the baptism in all the Gospels except for John, Jesus is led or driven into the wilderness for prayer and meditation. I think sometimes, at least I forget, and I think we forget, that Jesus did not just have this giant epiphany on his own baptism. Throughout his whole ministry, he spent countless hours at night in prayer and meditation. It's hard for me not to believe that he was trying to listen to deeply to God as to what he was called to do. And it was a struggle. It was a journey. Similarly, I think it certainly is for us. But that is a kind of model for me, that we are called to be like Jesus, to go into our wildernesses, to hold hands and walk together. For me, then, the second major epiphany of baptism in these texts is that Jesus modeled and clearly invited you and me not only to be baptized like him, but also to be continually seeking and acting both alone and in community. And just as he too sought out as a believer on a journey to be baptized, he also invites us to be baptized as part of a never-ending journey in a dialogue with God. Well, that's a tall order. But let's look one more time at these texts. And it was said so beautifully by Anna this morning. And perhaps a piece I skipped over in my notes is, how do we tell that story? Anna did it this morning. Caleb, Deb are attempting to tell that Jesus story in a new way, to new children, to new contexts. Likewise, and if you notice in the title of today's sermon, it's baptizers with the apostrophe at the end, not before the S. Of course, we are individually baptized, but believers' baptism is, as Anna said so beautifully in her sermon to the children, we are invited into a community of the baptized. That is the epiphany. It's not just an individual experience, but is the individual in the context of a community. If Jesus could select 12 relatively illiterate, unskilled people from the streets and create a community that transformed the world, what could Jesus do with us, with the resources and the gifts that we have? Jesus told them, and he modeled in his own life, to be continually reaffirming the baptism, to be seeking and to be open. It's New Year's. I've sort of made a New Year's resolution. We have Lori, who's a skilled retreat leader in our midst now. We have all kinds of resources. What kind of journey through our own baptism can we as a community do in the coming year in reading and sharing together as a community on a faith journey? Adult classes, time together, finding new ways to read. Lori and Brian and others have introduced me to Richard Rohr. Last night, as I was sitting reading Sojourner's Magazine, I was reminded of Brian McLaurin's work and Cynthia Borgelt, who's invited us into wisdom journeys of meditation. I guess what I'm trying to end with is to suggest that we are a community that can be transformed and is constantly being transformed, and that could be our New Year's journey. That we find in Jesus' baptism and his collection of people in response to that is a start in that journey. Every community of Jesus must and can write and continue writing its gospel. Every community has each other and the gift of the Spirit. We can do that. And I ask you to kind of look again at the words in the hymn as Anna did. And I invite you to take home today's bulletin. I was excited to find those three hymns. And if you would journey with me and take home the bulletin and use the words from those three hymns for this week's meditations, I think you would find them both inspiring and insightful. The first we sang, "In water we grow. In water we dwell, and by its deep flow, through bloodstream and cell we live, think, and grow. Praise God, love outflowing, whose well of new birth baptizes our knowing and waters the earth." And now we'll stand and sing these words. "We meet you at the water and ponder why and how, in hope that we may follow where God is going now. Anointed by your Spirit, reborn and energized, through deed and word proclaiming, in Christ we are baptized." And for our call, our hymn for communion, "Christ is able to make us one. At the table he sets the tone, teaching people to live, to bless. Love in word and deed express." I invite you to reaffirm your baptism as together we march into a new year, holding hands, open to grow, new people ever growing. Amen.